Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we glance at this wonderful picture on the screen, would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? Rejoicing Bones. Based on our Psalm 51, our text for our continuing sermon series during Lent, especially verses 7 to 8, King David wrote, O Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, so the bones that you have broken may rejoice. I encourage you to follow your sermon outline and your handout as we consider our theme, Rejoicing Bones. I'm sure that all of you are aware, as I am, that the weight of a guilty conscience, I say again, the weight of a guilty conscience is a terrible thing. In fact, it can be crushing if you've gone against your own conscience, what you know is right, having done what you know you shouldn't have done. It won't just be regret that you have to deal with. You'll have to struggle with just to live with yourself. You will look at yourself in the mirror and not like what's being reflected back at you. David found himself in this very situation. It all started with what he could have claimed was a relatively small sin, a matter of the heart, when he simply broke the 10th commandment, which says, You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, maidservant, ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Well, David wasn't interested in the servants and the animals of his neighbor, but his eyes lusted after the wife of another man. Her name was Bathsheba, and her husband's name was Uriah. 2 Samuel 11 tells us this. It happened one late afternoon when David arose from his couch, was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing, and this woman was very beautiful. Now, this should have been the end of the matter. David, as a married man, should have averted his eyes and left it at that, but he didn't. The text goes on and says, "And David sent and inquired about the woman, and the messenger said, This is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah." Now, learning that she was the wife of another man should have certainly been the end of the matter. But instead, this Old Testament soap opera continues. The text says, So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Having broke the 10th commandment, David goes on to break the 6th commandment. You shall not commit adultery. And the text says afterward, Then she returned to her own home. Well, that might have been the end of it, but it wasn't. This is because such relationships then often result in procreation. And the next thing we learn from the text is this in 1 Samuel. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David, I am with child. The story continues with David trying to trick her husband Uriah into thinking he was the child's father. But that plan failed, and Uriah remained on duty in David's army. David then was desperate for a solution, desperate for a way to hide and cover up his sin. Out on a limb, and certainly out of character, David gave secret orders for Uriah the Hittite to be left in the front lines of the battle and there to be killed as the other troops pulled away. And his plan worked. Uriah was killed by the Ammonites. However, it was really David who killed him. So David moved from the 10th commandment to the 6th commandment to the 5th commandment, you shall not kill. But now he figured he was free to add Bathsheba to his household in a way that made him appear in the eyes of others to be noble, as if he were doing the right thing. Scripture tells us, David sent and brought her to his house. She became his wife and bore him a son. Now, everything was good, wasn't it? Or was it? Well, they say you can fool some of the people some of the time, And some people were fooled and being deceived that David was acting on the up and up. But even if you can fool some of the people some of the time, the scripture makes it clear we can never fool the Lord. He knew what David had done. And the scripture says in 1 Samuel 11, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And be assured, David had been a man almost all of his life who loved the Lord, a man who, the scripture says, was a man after God's own heart. And this same David now was not feeling good about himself. He couldn't live with himself. He couldn't stand the reflection he saw in the mirror. He made his own self sick, literally. We know this because in Psalm 32, David writes about how heavy his conscience was. David writes, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, O Lord, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. Now, my dear friends, you and I know something, don't we, about having a guilty conscience. Now, hopefully none of us feel good about our sins. Hopefully today we do feel guilty. Now, why would I say that? I say that because there is hope for those of us who feel guilty because of our sins. As we talked about in the last couple of weeks, David's help came when God in his kindness sent to David his own pastor, the prophet Nathan, who confronted David with this sin. And David humbly made confession before God, and Nathan, in the name of God, gave David absolution, which means washing or forgiveness. And so David said these words in Psalm 32, O Lord, I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover them up. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. In our text today from Psalm 51, David has more to say about this situation. Listen to his prayer. O Lord, let me hear now joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Absolved from his sins, David felt relief. He was no longer suffering under the crushing weight of his sin so heavy upon him that he said, my bones feel like they are breaking. Through the prophet Nathan, God gave David his forgiveness. And so David says, now my bones that felt that they were broken, now my bones are rejoicing. My friends, the power in God's gift of the forgiveness of our sins and guilt. So today, if for some reason your conscience is weighing you down, ready to crush and break you, make you sick as you live with yourself and look at that reflection in the mirror, are you listening right now? Because I have good news for you. The God who was displeased with David, but then forgave him, is here today to forgive you also. He wanted to forgive David, and he wants to forgive us so much that he sent his precious son Jesus to the world. Now, I'm not going to quote you that famous John 3:16 that you all know, for God so loved the world. Listen to John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus, who came to save sinful people and not to condemn them, was himself condemned by sinful men. He was handed over to Pontius Pilate, who crucified him, and our Lord Jesus willingly endured death on the cross, which is the penalty he paid that we might have our sins forgiven. And in that great exchange, he gave us his righteousness, and he took upon himself our sin. And through simple and humble faith in Christ, that forgiveness and assurance, that washing away at absolution is given to us today. Now, how can this salvation come to us? Well, it already has. As Isaiah clearly told us, it has come to us through Christ on the cross. But another way that it has come to us clearly is through the waters of holy baptism. Back in our text in Psalm 55, listen to what David said. He prayed to God, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." In biblical times, hyssop was a plant that was crushed and added to water for ceremonial cleansing. Or else the hyssop's branch was dipped in the water and sprinkled in ceremonial cleansing. Either way, hyssop was used for cleansing and cleaning. It was a baptism of sorts. Now consider your baptism. Here is where what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago, what he did on the cross in the empty tomb, is given and delivered to us today. And if you are here this morning and are not yet baptized, speak with me. We can take care of these things. Now, the water of baptism is not just any water. Instead, it's the water connected with God's powerful word. Listen to the words of Luther's catechism. Here's what Luther says in the catechism. Without God's word, the water is just plain water and nothing else. But with the word of God, it is a baptism, a life-giving water, rich in grace, the washing of the new birth in the Spirit. We might say that baptism is God's hyssop that makes us clean, washed, and whiter than snow. And that's so much better than being with David in his former life, being weighed down with a heavy conscience of unconfessed sin, sin which threatens to crush us. Even more, whenever today we confess our sins and hear the words of absolution, forgiveness for Jesus' sake, we can again be assured that our sins are forgiven. Every Sunday morning, right after the opening hymn, we have the confession and the absolution. It means the confession and the washing away. And why do you think this baptismal font is left, front, and center? To remind us that we are a baptized child of God and our sins have been washed away. And when the pastor announces to you in the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven, he's saying to you, your sins are washed away. Wow. My friends, please leave this place today knowing this. You are a baptized, or in many cases, soon to be baptized, child of God. Your sins are forgiven. And now, Sunday after Sunday, as you make confession and receive absolution, be doubly assured. You have God's own promise. And so, with thankful hearts, we can join King David in saying these words. His words now become our words. O Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, so that the bones that have been broken will now rejoice. Rejoicing bones, sins forgiven, in the name of Jesus. Amen.